mourning this morning, and I thank the Lord for that, because we had problems with air conditioning, and we're going to have to update our heating and cooling system, and it's going to be expensive, but I know that the Lord is going to provide. He always does, one way or the other. But I would, you know, just, we never mention money here, but I do think that maybe you should be aware of certain things. We, right now, at present, I ask Kay, we have $4,000 in our general fund. Our insurance payment every month is $332.26. To me, that seems excessive, but our agent claims that that's cheaper than he found us the best price. So, and then of course there's the utilities. So it's good for you to know where we're at. And excuse me for taking care of another business too. That's special songs. I really appreciate that, Vivian, that you sang for us this morning. And June, for next Sunday, June the 30th. And Lydia, you'll still be in town the 7th of July. Would you sing then? And the 14th, if I tried to put keep in mind the vacations. Gordon, the 24th. I mean, no, the 14th. 14th. And Jack and Kathy, you'll be back for the 21st. Will you sing that morning?
Sure.
All right. Well, I took care of that. I still have July 28th if anybody wants to volunteer. Okay, we have a volunteer. Gavin and Christy, the 28th. Write you in. Okay. Well, thank the Lord. We're continuing with our Bible study in 2 Corinthians, and we're ready for the 6th chapter. Today, I do believe that these Bible studies on Sunday morning have been profitable and fill a need. We went through Romans, which is so important, and now Corinthians, where we see so much instruction for the church. All these things are so necessary. In a way of bringing us up to date to where we're at in the 6th chapter, I will refer back to the 20th verse of the 5th chapter. I don't know what I said, but we're in the 6th chapter. In the 5th chapter and the 20th verse that we had last week, it is that we are ambassadors for Christ. And to meditate upon that, to be focused on that, we will understand this 6th chapter a lot better. Verse 1 of chapter 6, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. We cooperate with God in the ministry, and I'm not talking just about teachers and pastors, all of us. And we're exhorted to receive not the grace of God in vain. It's referring to that calling that we have as ambassadors for Christ. So, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Verse 2, for he, God, saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted and in the day of salvation, and I have secured or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul's quoting from Isaiah here, the 49th chapter and verse 8. And he's really saying to the saints, that we must seize hold of our divine-given opportunity to be ambassadors for Christ. Verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. We'll stop there for a moment. To follow Paul's example, as we're going to read further of his example, giving no occasion of stumbling to anyone, that the ministry be not blamed. Selah. Paul suffered ministering the gospel, but what do we read here? Yet in much patience. Amidst difficulties, afflictions, necessities, distresses. And his life and his ministry manifested steadfast endurance. Such were his credentials. You know how different that is today. Ones apply for to minister someplace, and they have to be interviewed, and they have to come up with credentials and so on. These are his credentials. They're ours too. And in them, as we're going to read further, we see both his inward feelings and his outward conduct. Verse 5. In stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. All of these things that we're going to read of were experienced by Paul. We can't help but as we read them, those of us who are familiar with studying the life of Paul know of his suffering. And you know, they also are not uncommon to many ministers today in this world. And as we start reading with verse 6, and I'm going to read verse through verse 10, it brings to mind, of course, the sufferings of Paul. But it also brings out clearly his faith, his actions in the midst of difficulties. So with that in mind, we follow Paul, don't we? He's our example. And when these things come along, also not only Paul is in mind, but ourselves. Starting with verse 6, he says, by pureness, that's purity of life, by knowledge, and this is knowledge that is gained by experience with the Lord. And as we heard in Sunday school, that knowledge is growing as we have experiences with the Lord. By long suffering, by kindness or gentleness, by the Holy Ghost, the source of all these graces. By love unfeigned, meaning not hypocritical, but real love. By the word of truth, preaching the truth by the power of God. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Does this not suggest the sword of God's word in the right hand and the shield in the left hand? Yes. Both offensive and defensive weapons of the Christian soldier that we find in Philippians, the 6th chapter. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. Think of all the false charges that were made against Paul by the Judaizers. Do we experience that too? Oh, yes. The ministry has suffered some charges. As unknown and yet well known, fully recognized by those who really matter and by God, praise the Lord. As dying, and behold, we live. The enemy wanted Paul dead. I don't know about you, but I've experienced the devil trying to kill me when I broke my neck. I knew it was Satan that was after me. I almost was felt his chastening, that he was chasing me. Well, you know, once Paul was stoned, the enemy wanted him dead. And they went off leaving him there as dead. But what happened? He rose up. And he continued on his way preaching the gospel. What's our attitude when troubles come? Selah. As chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, having an inward victory. He had an inward victory knowing he was doing God's will. We can rejoice doing God's will, even in the midst of troubles. As poor, yet making many rich. Well, that's with spiritual riches, not the riches of this world. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. There's quite a play on words here, isn't there? Having and possessing. Nothing and all things. All right, now with verse 11, Paul appeals to the Corinthian saints. May we take these words personally to us. Verse 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is enlarged unto you. Excuse me, I better start again. O Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. He has bared his soul unto them, holding back nothing. His heart is enlarged in love toward them. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Straitened has the meaning of to hem in closely. But Paul says, not in us, but in your own bowels. Verse 13. Now for a recompense in the same, you know what a recompense is. That's like a, I don't know, another word we could use, reward or so, payment. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Paul appeals to them to have the same enlarged heart in return for the enlarged heart he has toward them. Selah. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? We are to live a separated life from evil associations. Now, sometimes we think of this unequally yoked together as just talking about marriages. But, you know, real true fellowship is having things in common. And does righteousness and unrighteousness have anything in common? No. And communion, that fellowship, communion means intercourse. Well, there's no intercourse between light and darkness. We all know that. Verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? These pointed questions, as I said before, they're not just referring to marriages or secret fraternities or social clubs or whatever. Of course, it includes them. But the thought is here, religious fellowship. How can we determine what we see and hear of religious men and of religious teachings? How can we know what is right and what's wrong? Well, it's under the exposing lens of the Word of God, is it not? So we need to know the Word. That when we hear error, we know it's error. But I'll tell you one thing. The devil trips up people by mixing a lot of truth with the error. And oh boy, it sounds so good because, oh, that's right. But then the error is sneaked in there. Sometimes we experience that. We need to know God's word to have the discernment to detect error. See how Satan fools so many? Because they don't really know the word of God. Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You know, we think of idols sometimes as statues, you know. It's anything that we make a priority in our life. What's that doing? That's replacing God. He should be number one. As God has said, I got lost my thought here. God says, I will dwell in them. You are the temple of the living God. I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. What's it talking about? Evil associations, religiously. And be ye separated unto the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And he says, I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That sweet, close, wonderful, personal fellowship for you, for me. There's safety and there's comfort in these sevenfold promises here. Gracious promises. Our attitude toward God defines the fellowship that we have with him. In the life of Paul, it was wonderful, wasn't it? And he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Come out. Be separated unto the Lord and touch not the unclean thing. No wonder that many don't enjoy their own sonship. Some stay in the place of defilement, which is pretty sad. And some visit it once in a while. Their devotion is not wholehearted. We just can't read and accept everything. We can't just listen and accept everything, even though supposedly it's religious. We can't just attend every religious gathering Someone in my home just here this last week said, well, all of the churches, they're all going to be in heaven. What did Jesus say? There's no other way to the Father except by me. It's no churches. It's no religious man. It's our Lord who gave his life for you and me. Some like to church hop, go from church to church like they're trying to find something that agrees with them. They're not searching for the Word of God. They want to hear something that agrees with their thinking and their way of life. Well, you can't do that and keep undefiled. But we can be satisfied with the fellowship of God alone and his Son, our Lord. Selah. I do believe that such is the teaching of this sixth chapter. Let's sing a song.